So even if you are debt-free, you don't owe anyone anything, you know, you're still going to have bills out there that are still going to have to be paid. And that's where I think becoming financially free through passive income is a much better route to go than versus concentrating on just being debt-free.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to bring our guest, John Rickgarn, onto the show. John, I know you've got a ton of experience that the guests are going to love. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Awesome. So everybody, John, having lost both of his parents to cancer by the time he was 16, John realized after years of working in the corporate world that the plan of work 40 hours for 40 years and save money in your 401k probably won't work for most. And that is even if you live to age 65. Since 2014, John began his financial journey, educating himself on everything from real estate investing to infinite banking. In 2016, he started with the fourplex as his first investment by taking money out of his Roth IRA, and now has several properties across several states. Since 2020, he has run a financial education website and blog, sharing his journey and experiences. Awesome. So first of all, John, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm just so sorry to hear about, you know, what happened to your parents growing up. That's just tragic. And thank you for sharing. I'm wondering, you know, you spoke a little bit about how that has influenced your, how has that shaped you as a person? What happened with your parents?
Overall, I guess kind of the two things. One, I, you know, just don't take anything for granted and kind of, you know, live a day at a time and, you know, try not to push off so much into the future or for a later date, because, you know, that day may never, may not be guaranteed to us. Like you said, my dad passed away when I was 11 and my mom passed away when I was 16. And I still remember that my dad was talking about going to Alaska and Hawaii for trips later on. This was back when I was 7 or 8, I think. And obviously he got diagnosed with cancer and that later day never, you know, came to be. So, you know, just try to live each day to the full potential and acknowledge that, you know, every one of us is going to have an end date. We don't know when that's going to be, if that's tomorrow or 50 years from now. So with that, I kind of look at of the traditional retirement plans of deferring, you know, your income, deferring money and taking it out, you know, 62, age 65, 67, and basically you're deferring your life and there's no guarantee that that life will be around there.
Such important lessons. And thank you for sharing. It's a painful way to learn those lessons. So John, you know, you've obviously had a lot of experience in real estate investing and are very passionate about financial freedom. So your philosophy, as you've mentioned, is financial freedom, one bill at a time. Can you walk us through what that means to you?
Sure. Kind of a two-part area. When a lot of people speak about financial freedom, whether that's from real estate or some passive investing, I've seen a lot of gurus arbitrarily throw out $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month. And that's the set amount that, quote unquote, you need in order to be financially free. Unfortunately, I think that dollar amount might be a little bit intimidating for most people. And, you know, a lot of people don't even make $10,000 a month on their day job. So how in the world are you going to make $10,000 investing passively? I just kind of broke that down a little bit farther, where one day I sat down, I inventoried all my set recurring monthly bills that I had, you know, not your food, not your gas, not entertainment expenses, but, you know, your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, insurance, the bills from day to day that, or month to month that don't, you know, change very much. And I noticed on my log, as well as several friends that I've worked with, is that the Netflix bill tends to be the most common recurring bill, but it's also on the smallest. So at the time, Netflix was $12.99 a month. I just kind of worked it backwards of, okay, what can I set up as a recurring monthly income stream that would pay that bill? For myself, it turned out to be a real estate syndication called Fundrise, and invested in that. You know, I don't get a lot. It's about $50 a month or $150 a quarter, but that more than takes care of the Netflix bill. And once I have a recurring revenue stream that takes care of one bill, then I just move on to the next and build up from there.
Okay, excellent. And so what would be your next step? Would you look at the next biggest bill?
For me personally, yeah, I kind of look at the next biggest bill and then just work backwards, you know, built up from those smaller bills. Like right now, I have two properties in the Birmingham, Alabama area. After all expenses, you know, mortgage payment, insurance, taxes, and then set up amount for vacancy and maintenance. Each property nets $250 a month. So one property pays our monthly utility bill, electric, water, sewer, and another property pays the bulk of our insurance through State Farm. So our homeowners insurance, our car insurance, and a small life insurance policy. So,
okay, great. So is this part of your, what is the approach for you? What's the rationale for taking this one bill at a time approach?
One, I just think it's a little bit more doable and can kind of break it up little by little with your bills and matching up a revenue stream per each bill, where, like I said, $10,000 a month or $5,000 a month might be a little intimidating for some people, but even starting with a Netflix bill of $13 a month and working backwards, what's a revenue stream I can build up that pays for that, you know, starting small or a baby step, if you will, and then just working it from there. Also, I kind of like having the set monthly bills being paid for by passive income, because if you're, you know, if you have a day job and if you have a slow month, or, you know, if you're laid off from some time, you know, we can all cut back on, you know, going out to eat or entertainment budgets or what kind of food we purchase. But, you know, if your mortgage payment is $500 a month, that's going to be $500 a month till the end of that term. You can't just tell your bank, well, I can only afford $250 a month. Can I pay that this month? So it just gives you a little bit more flexibility there.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really like that. Breaking it up into smaller chunks is such a good way to break down kind of a big, hairy, audacious goal. And so a great tool for folks. And, you know, just starting with that $12.99 bill a month, one Fundrise investment, I'm assuming that was like a pretty small investment. And you want to just tell the listeners what Fundrise is?
Fundrise is basically a syndication fund that's pretty much anyone can invest in, whether you're an accredited investor or a non-accredited investor. I believe it's still $100 you can invest in is the minimum. I've invested in a few thousand over the years, but anyone can invest in that. And, you know, it's just kind of a nice little starting point for most people. You don't have to have a, you know, a ton of money. And then the dispersions come out quarterly. The only caveat I would recommend is make sure that this is money that you're not going to need for at least 5 years. It's not like, you know, a stock or something that you can sell on a whim or a click of a keyboard. It's pretty tied up for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, great. So, you know, I know another passion of yours is talking about retirement accounts and what they can or cannot do for individual. I would love to hear more about your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah, the traditional, you know, route for retirement accounts and what most people are familiar with is they're called tax deferred. And I think a lot of people get hung up on the tax deduction they get, where a simple numbers, you put in, you know, $6,000 a year into your IRA, say you're in the 25% tax bracket, and they look at that of, okay, there's $1,500 in taxes that I saved for this year. Well, you saved that for this current year, but being that it is a tax deferred account, you save taxes on the money going in, but you pay taxes once you take the disbursements in the future, which for most people is going to be age 65. However, if you're putting into a tax deferred account, say you put in that $6,000, and say that $6,000 grows to $60,000 by the time you retire. Well, even if tax rates stay the same in the future, which I don't think they will with our financial, you know, catastrophe that I think is coming for our country with our deficits and our national debt, even if the tax rate is still 25% in retirement, well, now you're paying taxes of 25% on $60,000, not $6,000. Again, you're just deferring the tax later into the future. And in the end, you're going to be paying a lot more in taxes, even if tax rates tend to be lower. I know a lot of financial advisors say, well, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. Well, one, that's not guaranteed. And second, even though you might pay a smaller percentage based on the growth in that retirement account, you're still going to pay more in taxes when you take money out of your retirement fund in the future.
For sure. I think it's so important that people really understand what's going to happen with their money and look at the numbers and play out different scenarios.
Right. And granted, there's exceptions. I mean, I'm a big fan of Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks, which you pay taxes right away, but then the money going in, you know, it compounds tax-free, and then you can take the contributions out tax-free. Fortunately, last I looked, I think less than 10% of retirement accounts are in Roth vehicles versus the traditional vehicles.
Yeah, for sure. And you even took money out of your Roth IRA to start your investing career in real estate. So can you tell me about that? How did you decide to do that? Where were you working at the time?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. And sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting story. So when I started researching on with real estate, wanting to invest, I had a pretty specific criteria. I wanted to make sure, you know, it's a newer property. There wasn't a lot of deferred maintenance, newer construction, that it hit the 1% rule, which nowadays it's getting harder to find, but typically the 1% rule, if it's, say, a $100,000 property, it should get $1,000 a month in rental income or 1% rent to value. So I had all those criteria set. And after about a year and a half, finally a property did show up, but it was a fourplex on the market for about $300,000. And I mean, you can do the math. Okay, 25% down payment, obviously fairly expensive. And just was thinking back to a lesson of Robert Kiyosaki's, don't say, I can't afford it. Ask, how can I afford it? So just started thinking a little outside the box. And our financial advisor at the time, he mentioned to us, well, you know, you've had this Roth IRA since 19. And another function of the Roth IRA is that you can take out your contributions tax-free. You can't take out your earnings, but you can take out what you've contributed tax-free since you've already paid the taxes on it. So obviously it had built up for over 10 years and I decided to pull out my contributions, which paid for the bulk of the down payment of the fourplex, even though Susie Ortman and Dave Ramsey would be very much against that idea. Financially, it made a lot more sense, and the fourplex has definitely yielded a better return than what I could see in the stock market right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned Susie Ortman and Dave Ramsey. And for the listeners who aren't so familiar with those folks, like, why would they, you know, what is their sort of gospel, and why would they not have wanted you to do that?
Yeah, if you want to call it, you know, gospel or recommendations, both of them there's nothing wrong with it per se, but they're very much max out your retirement plans, contribute as much as you can. Don't touch that money for 20, 30, 40 years until you retire, and then take the money out. And like I've already explained, well, for one, there's no guarantee that, you know, you or I or anyone's going to be here till age 65, but that's kind of the arbitrary retirement age that society has set. And setting it up that way, you know, you're basically just deferring your life and setting up an income stream for later on, where if you get into, you know, a real estate investment, a syndication, those vehicles can actually pay you now and in retirement versus just waiting until age 59 and a half, 62, 65, or someday down the future. And that was kind of my mindset shift of, well, how about I start setting up recurring streams of money now, not just wait till I'm, you know, old and gray.
For sure. Yeah. And did someone give you that idea to cash out your Roth? How did you come up with that?
I had learned a little bit about Roth IRAs, but yeah, it was our financial advisor that mentioned or told us that you could take money out of your Roth IRA, again, just your contributions. And obviously it doesn't have to be for real estate. It can be for any purpose, but ended up working out well for me and has, from a tax standpoint and recurring income standpoint, has worked out very well for the last 5 years.
Okay, awesome. And so just to talk about the returns that you're getting, we don't have to get into the details, but you say it's doing a lot better for you in the stock market. I mean, we all know the stock market is going kind of getting very hot right now. So how is that Fourplex doing better for you than the stock market right now? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, I was kind of introduced to what's called the five ways real estate pays you. If any listeners out there are familiar with Keith Weinhold and his Get Rich Education podcast, he's talked about this numerous times. For starters, with, you know, historical rates of return, real estate averages about 6% annual return year to year. And of course, this is nationwide. Every market's just a little bit different. Two, there's the, like I mentioned, the appreciation, but then there's also the mortgage pay down, where the tenants pay their rent and that rent pays your mortgage. And each mortgage payment, there's interest being paid, but there's also principal. So every month that there's a principal pay down, that's a return on your initial investment as well. Three is the cash flow. Like I mentioned before, if it's a $100,000 property, it cash flows, you know, or the rent is $1,000 a month, maybe $200 a month net is your net cash flow. And say you put $20,000 into the property as your down payment. Well, $200 a month times 12 months be $2,400. $2,400 divided into your $20,000 down payment, right there, you're looking at a 10% return just on the net cash flow. That's before the leveraged depreciation. That's before the principal pay down. The other two ways that real estate pays you that can vary quite a bit for everyone's tax situation, but one is depreciation, that you can depreciate the property and basically enjoy tax-free returns. And the final one that a lot of people don't understand is the inflation hedging benefits. If inflation is averaging 3% a year, your monthly payment or your mortgage payment is effectively being cut down by 3% in purchasing power year after year for the life of that loan. So $1,000 a month today is going to feel a lot less in 15, 20 years from now, just with inflation.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking all those ways that real estate makes money down. Definitely, folks, go back and re-listen to that if you're not familiar with all of them. Once you start adding all those potential benefits and ways of earning money up, then it is quite amazing and powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you bought a fourplex with your Roth. And now what do you do now, John?
I still continue to look for investments that make sense. Obviously, the real estate market's been a little bit overheated in the last couple of years. With that said, I'm not going to buy something just for the sake of buying it. It still has to make sense for me. basically how I introduce myself when anyone asks, what do you do? Is I introduce myself as an investor, an educator, and a realtor in that order. And the fact that I am an investor in various real estate syndications, properties, stocks, options, and cryptocurrency. I'm an educator. I've done numerous blogs and podcast interviews. Also have a financial education website and blog that people can follow along where I share my journey and my experiences. And I'm also a real estate agent for a local company that, while I definitely work with a lot of first-time home buyers, I'm also more of an investor-friendly agent where if someone's looking to get into real estate investing, I know, you know, they're going to be concerned more about cap rates and after repair values versus granite countertops, you know, open concept kitchens and dining rooms.
That's awesome that as a realtor, you're also still actively buying properties. I think that it's important for, personally, I think realtors should be looking at ways to build their portfolios so that they're not always, you know, working on a transactional basis for their income. So it's great to hear that you're doing that. Mm-hmm. I would love to get your take, since you mentioned it, on, you know, you're obviously all about real estate and you mentioned cryptocurrency. How does that fit into your investment portfolio and philosophy?
In full transparency, a very, very small amount. I just started getting into crypto last year. I watched the whole Bitcoin huge rise back in 2017, where it vaulted up to $20,000 Bitcoin and then crashed to about $3,500. I started watching it and then decided to tiptoe in a little bit back in about mid last year, and have worked on a couple of different trading platforms, have Ethereum and Bitcoin, but also trade on them with an app that's called BlockFi, where you can actually earn interest on your crypto holdings as well. So it's not just sitting on a wallet or in a cold storage somewhere. It can actually generate returns for you.
Okay. So are those returns that you get today, or do they just get added to your account?
They just get added to your account. So it's basically like a savings account, but instead of getting paid in dollars, you get paid anywhere from 3% to 6% interest, and it's paid back in the cryptocurrency.
Okay, cool. And how would you compare or crypto to real estate investing, just for like investors who are kind of looking at their different options?
The nice thing about cryptocurrency, obviously, there's a pretty low barrier to entry. I mean, you can easily download, you know, Coinbase, BlockFi, Gemini. There's various programs out there and can start with as little as $10 for investing. Obviously, if you're looking at buying it's a single family home or an apartment building, the barrier to entry is quite a bit higher unless you go with a syndication. But even then, you know, you're talking minimums of $5,000, $10,000 and above. So crypto does kind of have a nice little space with a low barrier to entry. And I would still say it's a little bit more speculative at this point versus real estate, where regardless of what's happening with the economy or what the jobs report is going to be, people still need a place to live and people still need a roof over their heads. So I don't think that's ever going to go away.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting close on time. You've already shared so much information. I know you're passionate about this idea that being debt-free will not make you financially free. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yes. And kind of again, back to the Dave Ramsey mentality, he really promotes a debt-free community and live debt-free, which when it comes to consumer debt, if you're one to rack up tens of thousands of dollars and max out your credit cards and get an expensive car with a large car loan, absolutely, I definitely would not advocate doing that. But even if you get to the point where all my credit cards are paid off, my mortgage is paid off, my car loan, everything's paid off, well, you still have your food expenses. You still have your monthly living expenses. Even if you don't have debt payments to make, you're still going to have living expenses. And unfortunately, many people just pay for those from their W-2 jobs. So even if you are debt-free, you don't owe anyone anything, you know, you're still going to have bills out there that are still going to have to be paid. And that's where I think becoming financially free through passive income is a much better route to go than versus concentrating on just being debt-free.
Such a good point. Thank you for breaking that down, John. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have to have you on again soon to see where you've gone and what you're up to. Why don't you take a minute, give the listeners a way to get a hold of you and anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, there's a, I think it's an old Tupac song, I Ain't Hard to Find. My full name is John Rick Garn. I'm the only one of two Rick Garns in the entire United States. So you can easily find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can go to my website, wealthandfreedomnexus.com, where I update my blog and various investment opportunities that I personally partake in. And like I mentioned, non-accredited investors can partake in as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John, for coming on the show. We got a ton of awesome information and look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. For tons of free educational content to further your success.